Hello, and welcome to our program, Comics, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Toni Morell, and during the next half hour, I will be reading the Dick Tracy comics here on OWL Radio. Continuing on, listeners, we have The Blank, who rescued Junior from the gangsters. The Blank is now driving the car. Junior is still tied up in the front seat, having been rescued by the Blank. The Blank says, "Well, we've been away from your detective hero's garage 20 minutes. In another quarter hour, I shall let you out." "Oh, there's Tracy going home from show up in the squad car. Hey," the Blank says, as he sees Dick Tracy driving by. Junior, trying to sit up higher in the seat to look out the window, starts to say something, and then all of a sudden, whap, the Blank slugs him to knock him out. Knocked out, the Blank, continuing to drive, says to Junior, "I believe I asked you not to say anything. I'm not in the habit of saving youngsters' lives and then trying to have them call the cops." Now, pulled over a quarter of an hour later, the Blank opens the passenger side of the door. Junior, his hands still tied behind him, struggles to get out. The Blank, holding the door, says to Junior, "I'm going to let you out. I believe by now the carbon monoxide has completed its work back in your friend's garage." And as he leans over to untie Junior's hands, the Blank continues, "And you may take down this car's license number if you wish. You'll find it belongs to a dentist living uptown. I commandeered it for the evening." And getting back in the car, and almost ready to drive away, handing Junior a dime, the Blank says, "This is the opposite side of the city from where Mr. Tracy lives, so you'd better hop a streetcar. Here's a dime." And taking off, Junior, staring at the back end of the car, says in disbelief, "The man without a face, Volvo! Oh boy, I've got to get back to Tracy's place." And running all the way, just as Dick Tracy is getting out of a vehicle, his colleague saying to him, "Well, good night, Tracy. See you tomorrow." Here comes Junior running down the street. "Hey, Tracy, wait, wait." Dick Tracy, hands in coat pocket, leaning against the lamppost, says to Junior as he's running by, "Where have you been? What's the matter?" Junior, continuing to run, telling Tracy, "Quick, back to your garage. I'll explain later." And now, in Dick Tracy's garage, with the car still running, with the two gangsters underneath, Dick Tracy in disbelief. "Great Scott! My garage! My car! Running! What?" And then his colleague, looking under the car, says, "Look! Supina's men, look!" Junior, looking at Dick Tracy, "A man without a face did it. I saw him. His name's the Blank. He..." Dick Tracy, interrupting Junior, says to his colleague, "Shut off the motor, Pat. Good heavens, there." Pat, getting ready to shut off the motor, "I'll open the door to clean the air." After the garage's gruesome discovery, Dick Tracy, the detective, takes Junior into his apartment to get the complete story from him. As at the head of the apartment steps, they are confronted by the faceless one himself, who tells Tracy He, too, is devoting his life to catching crooks. Pointing a gun at Tracy. The blank says, "When I started after him, he pulled a smoke-throwing device from his pocket and filled the place with smoke, and then turning around and running down the stairs, hopping into a car. Junior, looking out after him, says, 'Look, there he goes. He said those two gassed in your garage were just a beginning.' Dick Tracy, staring at the car running off, says, 'Who is he?' In Dick Tracy's apartment, Dick Tracy, his colleague Pat Jr., standing there in disbelief. Pat says, hanging up the phone, 'The emergency ward reports the two gangsters tied beneath your car had been dead for 2 hours.' Junior, still in disbelief, 'Who can the faceless one be?' Dick Tracy, pushing back his hat, scratching his forehead, hand on his hip, says, 'And his brazen audacity in facing us here in my apartment and saying there will be more, then throwing a smoke screen and escaping.' Pat, saying to Tracy, 'At least he saved your life, Junior.' Junior, standing in between Tracy and Pat, 'But how could a man be like him? He didn't have any eyes or nose.' And the blank, back in his apartment, writing on a piece of paper on a desk located next to a street map on the wall, says, 'Ha! That takes care of one and two. Number three, you are next. The law will see how rats should be caught.'" Over in a certain metropolitan garage, we have more gangsters. "All right, boys, here's the payoff on the new territory. A grand piece." They're in a secret casino spot. One, turning to walk out the door, says to the others, "Put machines in all those houses on routes 62 and 18. Good night, boys." One of the gangsters, without turning around, says, "Good night, Lever." The other one, not turning around because they're talking, says, "Good night, Lever." So, we listeners, we have Lever the Gangster getting ready to put slot machines throughout Route 62 and 18. Lever gets into his car from the passenger side, not seeing the blank lying on the running board on the driver's side. Lever, as he slides over into the driver's seat, all of a sudden the blank pops up, holding a gun through the window, says, "Keep your hands on that wheel, Lever, Sam, while I get in the back seat. We're going riding together." Lever Sam turns in disbelief and gasps, "The blank!" Lever, now driving with the blank in the back seat behind him, gun pointed to the back of Lever's head, the blank says, "Keep your hands on the wheel while I take your gun. I presume you still keep it in the customary place. Lever, trying to make light of it, says, What's the gag, Blank? You can't want anything of old Lever Sam, Doty. The Blank. I'm turning you over to the cops, Lever. Lever, while driving, turns around and says, Ha! You're what? The Blank. You heard me. Turn up this alley. I've got some preparations to make before I deliver you. And now in the alley, the Blank is standing at the opened passenger door and says, Okay, get out of the car, Lever. Lever standing outside the car. Listen, Blank, after all these years, you can't. And holding a rope in one hand and the gun in the other, the Blank says, Take off your coat and stick out your hands and keep your mouth shut, or I'll fill it with metal muffins right here. And telling Lever, Stoop over. Try to touch your toes. And as he does that, the Blank takes the rope, ties Lever's legs together, ties his hands together, and then ties his hands and his ankles together. Standing behind him, the Blank takes out a piece of paper, puts it on Lever's back to write a note saying, Now hold still while I write a note and pin it to your back. Then we're getting back in the car. The street in front of police headquarters. The Blank slows down the car. He opens the door. And as it comes to a stop, he puts one foot on Lever's rear end, who's lying in the seat, and as he's pushing him out the door, Lever is saying, No, Blank, no! Don't do this! And poosh! The Blank pushes him out, and there's Lever landing right there in the front of the police department. One of the policemen standing there, Holy smokers! And what's this? The Blank driving off, looking over his shoulder. And now in the police department, one of the detectives opens the door. Hey, Dick Tracy! A fella all tied up with ropes was just shoved out of a car right here in front of PD. Dick Tracy, talking to the police chief, turns and looks at the detective and says, What? And now in the interrogation room, there's Lever sitting in the chair with the police chief standing in front of him, Dick Tracy next to him. The police chief, smoking a cigar, says, Well, Lever Sam, it took the faceless one to catch ya. Lever Sam, Yeah, that must make you cops feel big. It took a crook to nab me. You couldn't. The police chief leaning over, pointing a finger in Lever Sam's face, says, A crook, huh? Then you know the identity of the man without a face. Lever Sam, sneeringly looking at the police chief, says, Yeah, but I wouldn't tell you in 1,000 years, Flatfoot. Dick Tracy walking in with a bag full of blocks. Dick Tracy, saying, "Well, Chief, that emergency call that came in just as we went out to pick up Severlamp, Lover Sam, was from Patrolman Jensen downtown. He thought he had a faceless man cornered in the 5- and 10-cent store, but when we scoured the store, the only trace of him was this message he had left on the block counter. Don't be a fool. Lay off," is what the blocks say. Dick Tracy talking to Severlamp. "Well, Lover, you've readily admitted that you know the identity of the faceless man. Now I'm going to try something else." Lover Sam, looking at Dick Tracy, smugly says, "I won't tell you who he is." Dick Tracy, holding photographs, says, "Here are 6 photos of known criminals. As I hand you each one, answer yes if you recognize the faceless one." Lever Sam, standing up, pointing to being attached to the lie detector, says, "No, I refuse to answer. This lie detector test is optional. I don't have to take it." Dick Tracy, pointing his finger right at Lever Sam, says, "Splendid! My strategy worked. You have indicated by that our man is a known criminal whose picture rests somewhere in our files that gives us ground to work on." Lever Sam, standing there, completely confused as to how in the world Dick Tracy pulled another one over him. Dick Tracy and Pat are in one of the detective workshop rooms with the blocks in front of them. Dick Tracy is looking at each one through a special eyepiece magnifying glass. Pat, scratching his forehead, goes, "This faceless man, does he wear a mask? Is his face disfigured or what?" Dick Tracy, studying each block very carefully, "I don't know what to think. I've never been up against anything like this before, Pat." And continuing to test each block, Tracy says, "Get the telescope camera ready. I'm going to bring out some of the fingerprints on these blocks with the iodine blowgun, and we'll make a search of all files." And now, back out on the streets in another part of town, as Schultze the gangster is walking, we hear an all-too-familiar voice say, "Hey there, Schultze." Schultze, startled, cigarette dangling from his mouth, says, "Oh, hello," as he sees the blank. Sweating profusely, as the blank stands in front of him, Schultze says, "Well, if it isn't the blank. Gee, I just got in from the West. What are you doing here, old pal?" The blank, "I'm just checking up on my old friends, Schultze, and I thought I ought to see you next." Schultze, still holding a piece of luggage in each hand, still sweating profusely, looks at his colleague, saying, But listen, blank, I've just time to make connection with my other train. I really can't stop off now." The blank, hands in coat pocket, calmly says to Schultze, "Oh, now, Schultze, come on." And as Schulze turns to walk away, "Sorry, old pal, I've got to get along." The blank, "Get along? Nuts. You're going to linger a while, Schulze." And with his gun in his coat pocket, pointing it towards Schulze so Schulze can see he better cooperate. The blank says, "Walk along to that black car over there and act natural, or I'll drill you right on the spot." And Schulze, now in the front seat of the car, with the blank in the back seat holding a gun steady to him. Schulze, sweating more profusely, says, "Remember the old days, blank? We used to be buddies. You're not going to..." The blank, cutting him off, says, "Drive where I tell you and cut the blabber. I'm not kidding." Meanwhile, back at the police station, the police chief walks in as Dick Tracy continues to study those blocks. Police chief saying, "Well, what about the fingerprints on the blocks? Find any?" Dick Tracy, looking now at each block with the magnifying glass and the fingerprint results, says, "Ha! Don't make me laugh." Now, tossing a couple of the blocks in one hand, he says, "There are thousands of prints on them. Every customer in that dime store must have handled these blocks. This angle is out." And now, back in the car, as Schulze is driving, the blank in the seat behind him, holding a gun on him, says, "Okay, now turn off the concourse and head for that private airport on Elk Road." Schulze, driving nervously, looking over his shoulder, says, "The airport? The airport? Blank, you're not going to do anything to me, are you? Remember the old days." The blank says, "Keep driving." And now, entering the private airport on Elk Road, blank says, "Good, there's a plane just coming out of the hangar. Head for it." And as the pilot sees this car coming on to the tarmac, he opens the side cargo door and yells, "Hey, get that car off the field. It's against the rules." The blank, forcing Schulze now to walk towards the plane and get in, is saying, "Button your lip, buddy, and get back to those controls. We're coming in." And now, with the pilot sitting in the pilot seat, Schulze sitting in the other seat, the blank training the gun on both of them, the pilot at the control says, For the... "Who are you?" And the blank, pointing his gun at the pilot, "Take this crate up to 5,000 feet and level her off. And do it now." Back at headquarters, a recently received teletype message has electrified the entire department. The teletype message says, "Schulze, Innis Eastern Racketeer, has been pushed or has fallen from airplane, crashing through farmhouse kitchen roof near here." Dick Tracy, reading it in disbelief, grabbing his coat, running out the front door of the police station with Pat close behind him. Tracy says, "Come on, Pat, we're going to Ridgefield." Pat grabbing his coat, "Do you suppose this is more work of the blank?" And there at the farm, the two policemen on the scene are saying, "The body's still inside. Should we remove it?" And the other says, no, not until the city police get here. And turning to the farmer, this particular police officer says, did you see the airplane or hear it? And the farmer, standing there still in shock, says, well, I can't say I saw her, but I heard her. Then I heard the crash. The body might have high fell on me. Dick Tracy arriving on the scene, the policeman on duty says, hello, Tracy. Well, they're hurling him from the sky now. Dick Tracy, yeah? The police, foul play or suicide? And as Dick Tracy, looking at the body, says, Dawson, when a big shot gangster dies, it's seldom suicide. Now standing there, trying to think things through, hands in trouser pockets, Tracy says to Dawson, the police officer, have you checked the airport to see if the plane came from there or landed there? Dawson says, one of our men is over there now. And now, both men looking up at the hole in the ceiling where the body fell through the roof. Tracy says to Dawson and to his colleague, Pat, Pat, dash over to the airport. If the officer has located the pilot or anyone that can give any help, bring him here. And Pat, taking off, says, okay. Meanwhile, back in the airplane, about an hour earlier, the plane landed, and the blank saying to the frightened pilot, stay right at those controls till I'm off the field. And jumping out of the airplane and into the car, the blank rushes off. The pilot, turning around in disbelief. What? This murderous fiend? And that horrible face? Why? Why? And the blank in the car as he drives off. Aha! Another buddy safely tucked away. And another baffling knot for the cute little coppers to untie. Now, to connect with the eastbound steamliner and make my cover-up complete. What does the faceless one known as the blank mean by that? The blank, continuing to drive off, approaches a railroad crossing. This car must supply one more message for the police, one more mystery to stupefy them and befuddle their weary brains. A train wreck. No, the weight and speed of the steamliner will keep it safely on its tracks, but this car must be pulverized. Aha! Here she comes, 100 miles an hour, now to start my car and leave her on the fly. And putting the car on the train tracks, the blank runs off. And with the train racing down the tracks, it crashes right into the car, smashes it to pulverines, to splinters, as it pushes us down the track. And the blank, seeing all of this from the nearby cornfield, says, perfect. We'll continue more, listeners, later. You have been listening to Dick Tracy Comics on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on a specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Tony Morrell saying goodbye from Owl Radio.